Hello, Abby site owners, and welcome to the BlogAid Site Success Interview Series. I'm your host, Mayanna, and today my guest is Marilyn Lesniak of Marilyn Treats. Hey, Marilyn, how you doing?
I'm just fine this morning, Mayanna. How are you?
I'm doing great. Now, Marilyn, you and I took your site through a full audit, and we did a bunch of cleanup, and we're going to share what that was like. But before we get into it, tell us a little bit more about yourself so folks know where you're coming from with your site experience.
Well, first of all, my background is in customer service. So I have a very distinct way that I prefer customer service to work. I also was an office manager for a while, and I learned setup programs, how to use those. But I really never went onto the internet. I also did accounts payable and receivable and payroll. So when it comes to doing the math, I consider myself fairly good at that.
Yeah, I bet
I, started on to the internet when we got in the late 90s, when we got a Hewlett-Packard Bell machine, and I started out on AOL and found that they had chat rooms, moved from chat rooms to making friends with some real geeky guys, and got into the role-playing games through what was called Lambda Moo, where you telnet to a specific site, and it's all set up for you to do whatever it is you want. And that was strictly text. There were no pictures. However, you could do dots and dashes through different systems and colors through different systems to make up very primitive images. And I ended up trying to find out what was going on with that and made my own site, and it was very successful until the time when internet and having your own websites and things like that, blogs, became popular, and that's how I started Marilyn Treats.
Wow. I mean, I remember those days too. I'm from back in, you know, electronics engineering when you can walk inside a computer.
So, yep.
So I grew up with it too. I know exactly what you're talking about with all the telnet stuff. So, I mean, you've been at this since the get-go.
And right.
You've got a lot of history here, which we really want to share with people, because all of that has not been good either. You know, some of the stuff that you've been through has not all been pleasant.
No, it hasn't.
So we're going to get into that when we talk about the site audit, because you told me a little bit of the history of where you came from with host and different things on your site too. So let's go ahead and jump into that. What prompted you to get an audit in the first place?
Well, I had increasingly, I was on my first site, and I eventually found out that I was having problems with different areas that I knew were set up correctly, but what I didn't know was that I had conflicts and I had changes and that there were a lot of orphaned files left behind that were causing a lot of problems. So I ended up switching hosts from Bluehost, with a lot of other problems I'll get into later, to WordPress Engine. And I really liked that host. However, I'm more of a hands-on person, and I didn't have root access, and I wasn't capable of putting in the exact plugins I wanted because they didn't coordinate with WordPress Engine's system. So I switched from WordPress Engine, and I hired a tech developer to take my blog through 90 days of service, which I found was another thing that I needed to have researched more for different problems that had created. So with all of that history behind me, when I saw Mayanna's blog site, I read a lot, researched a lot, decided that she was truly a great source to have and that she was honest. And I decided at that point that it was time to get off my own doing and have her take a look at the inside working of my blog.
Yeah, that's really what it comes down to. Sometimes you have to go through a few bad eggs to be able to learn enough to vet who's going to do a good job for you.
Right.
Okay, let's go back and pick up a couple of things that you mentioned, orphan files. So let's tell folks where those come from, because during your tenure of having your site, you've tried this plugin, tried that plugin, and so it leaves a lot of junk behind, right?
It sure did. And those things that I didn't think were there and didn't think was complicating and causing compatibility problems were very real. And until I went through the audit and looked at my HatchAccess file, HTAccess file, and looked at my robots text files, and then went into my cPanel and just poked around looking, afraid to touch anything, of course, don't do it. Let somebody who knows what they're doing do it. And that's where I found a lot of my problems, so much so that there were parts of my HTAccess and leftover incompatible files that I ended up having after the audit to just switch out my theme and put in a brand new theme and start over as far as the theme files went so that they would all work. It was cheaper, it was faster, and I knew that the rest of the database was cleaned up because of Mayana.
Yeah, it really makes a lot of difference sometimes just to draw a line in the sand, go after all the low-hanging fruit, take care of the bigger things that you can. But if you have to start all over with something, it is cheaper sometimes than trying to go in and repair something that's not working well.
Correct. And it was time for a theme change for me anyway, so it worked out very well. And I am still getting that all together to set it up the way that I want as far as the look, the paint job, but everything I know underneath is working like a fine-tuned car.
And one of those things with the theme was it being HTML5 compliant, correct?
Right.
Yeah, that's going to make a whale of a lot of difference to your SEO, because HTML5, and I want to explain that. HTML5 is not the same thing as responsive. I talked to someone the other day that thought they were the same thing. And it's like, no, it's totally different stuff. Responsive is good for mobile. It reorders itself into a column for mobile. HTML5 is all about the schema market. Well, not all about, but one of its primary functions is the schema markup, and it starts right at the top, and your theme has to output it. WordPress has been supporting that since what? WordPress 3.6, but it has to go all the way through your theme, and it makes a whale of a lot of difference. So that was there. It was not just a paint job, not just conflicts. There were a lot of issues going on with justifying why you wanted to get a new theme, right?
Right, exactly. And it wasn't until we really dug into it, and Mayana was showing me what leads to what's important, and what it was doing and not doing. I thought I was all set by just upgrading and updating, and lo and behold, that was not the case. What you don't know can hurt you.
Yeah, and it really was too. I mean, it was just chewing up your site for that. So we
Yes.
made a whale of a lot of difference. Let's talk about that cleanup process, what that was like, and plugins, because that's a big one. You were talking about orphans and conflicts is the main thing.
Right. I had a lot of plugins that I felt were necessary to run my recipe blog, and I was just starting into doing a little bit of explanation into different areas of blogging, such as social media, newsletters, things like that. Not as guarantees, but more as defining what it is that you need to know and look for so that you can handle the things in the way that your theme and your best interest and ideas will work. So I had gone through a lot of different plugins, and I added plugins based on what other people would say, whether they be tech groups, marketing groups, those are the worst, individuals, those are really the worst, instead of looking at what that does and how it does it. So I had a whole bunch of change outs and plugins before I settled down. And it wasn't until I went through the audit that I realized that most of that stuff that I was looking at should be handled through your theme. And the plugins that you need are for security, mainly security, and for SEO. Those are the two main areas to have your plugins.
Right. And there are a few plugins like your recipe plugin that you need for function for that too, that you don't necessarily need to put that in your theme. Some themes allow for that, but it kind of limits the themes that you can use. And all those recipe plugins, all of them, are going to be a resource hog. So if that's something that you're going to make your money on with your sites, get your traffic in with, then you're going to have to take that hit. And because of that, you need to pare down some other hits, maybe, because it's really going to impact your site load time, isn't it?
Yes, it does. When I went through the profiler of plugins, I noticed that my recipe program, which I love and would never change, Easy Recipe, I love that program, but it is a resource hog. And that is because of the detail and the information that it stores in your database. For everything that you do, whether or not you're actually using a different aspect of a plugin, the site has to load those. And the deeper that you go into the database, the more resource intensive and resource hog that particular plugin is. So you have to realize what it is you're trying to accomplish. And don't try to do everything through your blog. You can go outside your blog to prepare your information, get your information, and even share that information without sticking it into your database and causing problems.
Right, and other resource hogs like CoSchedule, or Tweet This Out and things like that, reviving old posts, whatever those plugins are
Right.
called. Anything that you're taxing your site with having to do to schedule for you is going to be another resource hog. So, there are outside services like Hootsuite and Buffer and, other things like that to do some of this for you. Don't tax your site with it because those are resources that are being chewed up and you don't have so many left for visitors either.
Exactly. And then your site gets slower. The amount of database usage and CPU usage is larger, and your host is going to have to increase your plan and your cost. So this is costing you not only readers and time speed, but it's costing you real cash, any profits you may be making, because you're paying it over to your host. And not all hosts are really great about not wanting to upgrade you and giving you opportunities and finding out why your usage is higher than normal. And that's where a great host comes into play.
Well, Marilyn, let's talk about that because some of your hosting experiences have not been so nice. So we're going to get in that in a minute, but I want to pick up one thing that you said there. For most hosts, it's not their responsibility to help you with that. As a
No.
WordPress owner or a site owner, it's your responsibility. So, I've got a post out there, stop blaming your host for overages, because for most hosts, it's not their responsibility. And for security, if you don't have all of that on there to kick out the bad bots, then your site is crawling with those things and they're eating up all of the resources. Then you have good bots like Google bots in there eating up resources. So it's a bigger problem than just your site. And some of that you can't even see from your site. You do have to go into the hosting account in your control panel to see all this stuff, don't you?
Yes, you do. And every host that I've had has had a file that will show me all the specifics of anything that I want to see, whether it be the bad bots, the ghost bots, the whatever is happening on your site, the ones coming in trying to cause malware, ones coming in trying to guess your password and your admin. I was just totally floored, jaw-dropping floored, when I saw how many hits that I had that I didn't even realize that were be counting as traffic and were actually being detrimental to my site and not good users.
Yeah, I think most people are when they see literally tens of thousands of hits for that kind of thing. I mean, it looks like a roach-infested apartment. Your site is just crawling with stuff that you don't know is happening. I don't mean to gross everybody out, but if you could see it, that's what it looks like. So let's talk about the hosting experience. Now, you mentioned WP Engine, which is a great service if you want to be totally hands-off and just have somebody else take care of a lot. But you mentioned that they don't give you the back end to see what's going on. Plus, they have a lot of restrictions, and that's how they do their business. That's how they keep things running really fast and not chewing. They don't let you have all of these resource chewing plugins. And that's part of their business, how they run that business and why it's appealing to some people. You also pay a pretty penny for all of that as well. But let's go back to Bluehost, which is one of my most unfavorite hosts at this point. They used to be a preferred vendor, and I dropped them, I think it was about 3 years ago, and it's not gotten any better since. It's gotten way worse, I think.
It has, Mayanna. I chose Bluehost because everywhere through all of the WordPress.org documentation, they would pick three top hosts. Bluehost was number one. So I went in and blindly chose Bluehost and took and transferred my blog from a Blogger blog over to Bluehost. The number one thing about the transfer was they were asking me for to point my domain and my domain URL to the Bluehost. I had no idea what they were talking about, and in Blogger, I didn't know what they were talking about. So I actually, being uneducated in that area, ended up not having my site running for almost 30 days through the whole setup period that I had to make any changes with them without problems. I lost all of my ad coupons because they were using the date that they started the transfer and not the date that I could go live. So that was the first thing that I didn't like, and I should have known then. The next thing about Bluehost was they were great for a newbie person. If you didn't know what you were doing, or you were working on something and your site went down, they could fix it. The problem with that was I was under the impression I was getting daily backups, but their backups are not complete enough backups for certain areas. They only catch certain information on certain days of the week. I had a problem where I had had a white screen due to the fact that my WP config file was deleted by changing over by removing a person that had access. And when I called and asked how to do that, they gave me a procedure which I did on the phone with them, and boom, I lost my config file.
Whoa, and that's just
Yeah.
your connection to your database.
That was it. That was my first problem, and the second part of that was they didn't have a good, even though they were backing up daily, I had to go back and lost 6 days of work because the correct backup that was going to help me, that was the newest one they had.
Well, let's talk about that a second because a lot of people say, yeah, my host backs up daily. That one's not guaranteed. That's in case the server gets hit and they need to port you over to another server temporarily while they're working on one. That's for their stuff, and they don't guarantee it. Not at all. Now, some of them, and Bluehost, I think, is one of these, they offer a backup service that you can pay extra for that is guaranteed. But
Right.
most people don't know that, and you need, if the server ever goes down, your backup goes with it. For that, and they do back up to another server, but Bluehost does not. As a matter of fact, I have one client that they were sending her emails saying, we're going to kill your account because you're over in disk space usage, and you can go into your control panel and look to see your disk space. Since I worked on that for 2 days trying to find out what the problem was because we couldn't see any overages. Turns out
Right.
that their backup, the one that they do, the one that you're talking about, that's not even guaranteed. It's supposed to wipe itself clean every so often. So they can only go back so far in time for that sort of thing. They weren't
And
wiping it
if
clean, and there was 48 gigabyte
Oh.
of backups in there that they weren't wiping out, that we couldn't see, that we couldn't access. We had no way to see what the problem was, and yet they were about to terminate her account over it. Now they cleaned it up, but it took, four calls to tech support and three tickets to get it done.
And that's another area, their customer service. Like I said, most customer service that I work with, people are doing what they are required to do to keep their job and maintain numbers and new people using their service. They don't care about how they're treating you or how well their customer service is actually working. At Bluehost, I could make a phone call and I could wait on hold. I think the lowest time rate that I ever waited on hold was 45 minutes, sometimes up to an hour and a half waiting to recover from the white screen of death because I didn't know what I was doing in the cPanel and I was relying on them. And then when you get a customer service representative to help you, it was increasingly over the year that I worked with them, I was getting newer and newer people that were not giving complete information or clear information to me. And of course, they're not going to make any big changes because they don't want to get in trouble for that. So what they do is they refer you online to some of their tutorials, which were very good, but if you didn't have a lot of background, it was like reading the back of a vitamin bottle. That's the best way that I can say
Well,
it. Lots
I
and lots
do
of
want to,
information.
yeah, but I do want to say this though. Hosts like Bluehost, Hostgator, all of those, GoDaddy, all of them, they're not responsible for helping with WordPress.
Right.
And that's what a lot of people think is, hey, you need to help me with their site. They're responsible for helping you with your hosting. And that's it, an email and anything that's attached to your hosting. But that's all, not your WordPress site. So either
That's
you have to get
correct.
savvy, and somebody could try to help you, like the WP config, that's a core WordPress file. So if it got goofed up, they can back up and say, well, we don't really support that anyway. It's up to
Right.
you as a site owner to be, if you're going to get in there and do it or hire somebody who knows. So I don't want to rag on that host too much. I mean, I think we've shown, but how bad they can be with some of these, but let's go back and pick up where you got some of this information too from groups. And that's some of the worst information. I just put out a post, the worst website advice you'll ever get. And it comes out of these groups.
Loyalty to plugins and types, those are built up by people who their experience only. I've got a theme. Not every theme is equal. I want to add a plugin. Not every plugin works as well with each theme. Some of them will let you see the final results the way you want, but the working between your host and your theme and database and that result aren't always the best and aren't always the same with each other. So you have to take any type of advice that anyone, unless they're an expert with your particular bag of tools, you have to take all of that with a grain of salt. And that's where I got into
Absolutely.
trouble.
Absolutely. It's generic advice that focuses on features, period. And it's not from techie people. And they get, they're looking at how this thing works on the front side, the things it can do, but they're never looking at the toll that it takes on your site.
Exactly.
Broken link checker. They're looking for easy tools like that. That thing will kill your site. It will eat it alive, and it gives too many false positives. It's a horrible plugin. It's just horrible. Don't use it. And some of the plugins are great that people say, but like you said, they're not taking your whole environment, other plugins that you've got, your hosting environment, your theme, all that. They're not taking that into consideration. Another one that I see is like the Yoast SEO plugin. People go in, put that in, and configure only the on-page metadata. They don't configure the whole rest of the plugin. I see that all the time. And in these groups, maybe they don't even know. They're not vetting. They're not checking. And I do check. This is what I do for a living. And it's the worst advice in the world.
That's true. It is. And that's how I had so many incompatibilities running. And you have to be aware of each plugin, what exactly the function is. You're not trying to duplicate one thing with an extra plugin. Yoast SEO is a great example of that. They have a lot of different things that they can do in that plugin. You don't need an extra XML sitemap plugin. You don't need an extra plugin for
Facebook Open Graph tags.
True, true. You have two Open Graph tags, you're in trouble.
Right.
You need to choose one. And if you're going to use plugins that overlap, you want to make sure that you have the parts that overlap, you have those set so that the one you want to use as primary is doing that work, and the second one, that piece, is shut off.
Right. Jetpack comes to mind, too, with all the modules that they've
yes.
got in there. There's nothing wrong with Jetpack per se, except when people install it, it's got 14 modules turned on, and that's eating up your site for things you're not even using.
Mm-hmm.
So same thing there, and a lot of overlap and conflicts with it. So one other thing I think I want to get into with the group advice is, you know, the advanced developers and folks that I hang out with, I see the hosting recommendations there, and then I go to these groups and see them, and they're always HostGator, Bluehost, GoDaddy. You know, they're always the top people. But it's like night and day difference when you get with people who are in the know that are responsible for tens of thousands of client sites compared to somebody who's just doing their own saying, I've never had any problem with this. Well, I've invited people who say that to come get an audit and check to see if they're having any problems, because I don't think they're checking like you are. You're in the midst of it getting your hands dirty, and maybe you're checking a little more than other people are.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And not all hosts are created equal. Not all of them have the same packages. So many of them aren't just dedicated to WordPress. But if you use those that are managed programs and dedicated to WordPress, you're going to pay a little bit of a premium. Cheap Hosting has a lot of menu plans, cafeteria plans, where you take their basic plan, you can grow that plan, and you can use add-ons. Be careful and make sure that you question the add-ons that you're putting on there. You might know a good security program as SiteLock, but the program that some hosts put on for SiteLock is one that they have put together, and SiteLock itself doesn't even sell that plan.
Yeah, Cloudflare is another thing with that, where you get into this gray area that the host is offering some part of mm-hmm. it too, and it's not the same thing as just getting an account with them. Now, I don't particularly care for SiteLock, but it does what it does, and they make partnerships with hosts to do this.
Yes.
I also work with some other developers that partner with hosts to do these backups. The hosts don't do them. It's a third-party service that's doing these guaranteed backups for them, too. So there's a lot of gray area where it's up to the host to make it easy for you for integration with these services, but you're not getting the full-blown service, and you can't get support from either way because nobody really knows how it works.
Exactly.
Gray area. I did that with Cloudflare, and everybody, I tell them, get it off your hosting. Get it, you know, if you're doing it through your cPanel with that way, and just get a Cloudflare account full up. Now, the other thing, too, is some hosts have some of these services built in where they don't give you a choice. So anything that you're going to add, you need to check to see if you've already got it, especially the ones with managed, because that's part of the premium price you're paying, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
WP Engine does that. They do it server side. So you don't have to add all this stuff, and you don't have a bunch of plugins or services that you have to get. They're actually doing it on the server side where you can't even see it.
Right, exactly. You're paying for that service, but they're also, with WP Engine and a few more like that one, they are making sure that what they are adding is incorporated into your service and not as add-ons through your particular blog. They're making sure that those are compatible and optimized. But you can't control it yourself, and you can't see what's happening. And I'm pretty much of a, I got to have my hand in there, and I have to go through this for myself and check it out and see what the differences are. Well, that's a good thing, but not for managed services, managed hosting. And it's not so good a thing if you don't know what you're doing and you don't have somebody you can rely on to repair anything that you may have changed the way that it's supposed to work.
Well, Marilyn, I think that's it right there, that you're going to pay a premium to get somebody to do it for you no matter what. You're either going to pay the host, or you're going to pay for maintenance package, or you're going to come get this site audit, learn what you need to do to keep things clean. You know, that's part of the site audit process, is educating you so that you don't get into trouble with it. So you're going to pay a premium no matter what. I mean, the days of I don't want anything to do with it, stick your head in the sand, are over. You really do have to caretake your site these days, right?
You do. And there's not enough information out there. There's not enough sharing of that need. So one of the things that I'm taking on with my blog is sharing where to get information, what information you can trust, what questions you need to ask and ask yourself, and what results that you're expecting to see. And then go ahead and get your plan ready, and then, well, I like to say, then engage. Put that plan into action with the best outcome that you yourself can possibly create.
Because it is going to come down to finances and what you feel comfortable with. I mean, those are the
exactly.
things that you've got to combine there. But the main thing that we don't want to just rant or bash companies or whatever. This is almost public service announcement that it costs you money not to know. Because like you said earlier, Host will just upsell you to a bigger plan if you're hitting overages, and all you're doing is paying for a bigger place for the rats to run. You're not actually fixing the problem, although you're not being shut down for overages anymore.
Right. And that's important to know. If that's what you want and that's what works for you and that's what makes blogging happy for you, not having to take care of that, if blogging is more of a hobby than an income generator, those are the things you have to ask yourself to know exactly what is best for you. You can't just take blanket advice from anybody and say, I'm running with this. You have to make sure that the advice that you're getting comes from somebody with the knowledge to give it and your particular individual best interest.
Exactly. That's the big thing, because, you know, we talked about a lot of these groups and gurus who are giving out bad advice because it's out of ignorance, a lot of it. I don't think most of them are malicious in any way. It's just out of sheer ignorance and standing on the, I've never had any trouble with it, and it's, let's go check, because maybe you don't even know how much trouble you're having.
Exactly.
Let's talk about your site audit as far as speed, performance. What have been the results out of improving all of this stuff?
Well, before I had my site audit, I would do once a month, I would run GT Metrics and get my numbers there as far as page speed and SEO by both Google and through YSLO. I was doing well. I was getting in the 80s for the Google, and in the YSLO, which is a Yahoo product, I would get in the high 70s, but my page speed would run anywhere from 4 seconds to 12 seconds. And to me, I thought, what's the big idea? I don't care. What's the difference between a microsecond? Well, let me tell you. After I got through the site audit and I took the recommendations from Mayanna and had them put in place and then adjusted my home page and the way that I had my posts and pages set up, watched and limited how many server calls, I went to a 94 in the Google and a 92 in the YSLO, and the YSLO average is in the 80s. My server speed was less than 0.058 seconds.
I love to hear that. It makes a difference. And all of that wasn't that hard to clean up. I think yours was the fastest cleanup I've ever seen. You know, I mean, you just stayed right on it. We both had our to-do list, and you did your thing. I did my thing, and poof. And it made a world of difference. And it was actually because you knew what was going on with it. It's not like you had been away from your site where you had no idea what was happening at all anyway. I mean, you were invested in it to some level. Now, you don't have to be a geek saying that, but you do have to know what plugins you've got and what their function is. What are they doing for you? I go through a lot of audits with people who say, I don't know. I hired somebody and they put it in and I have no idea what it was doing. You know, as the site owner, you are responsible for understanding so that you can validate, you know, yes, I want these functions. And too many people just say, no, just let somebody else do it. I don't have time. I don't have interest. You can't walk away from it. You can't be that hands off, can you?
No, you can't. And you have to know what's built into your theme also. You can say, somebody can say, gee, I just have to have this plugin. There's no way that it's going to give my blog, show them anything more than the first page. They have nowhere to look unless I have extra, okay, related posts and favorite posts and posts today that are pinning and all of these extra areas that are causing server calls and images to take up your time. You may find, especially if you have Genesis, you may find that a lot of that's built in. You don't need those extra things.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something when you change over to the new way of doing things. Let's say you were on some other theme and then you come to Genesis, there, you just need to look again at how things are done. Or plugins that you've relied on for a long time, like a Kismet. That's a really good one to think about. You know, it's not working as well now as it used to, and there are other plugins that are working a little bit better than a Kismet for what it does for the spam blocking on the comments. And I've traded over. I've dropped a Kismet on almost all of my sites and client sites that I manage, and getting more folks to change over to things that work a little bit better these days. So just because something has always worked and you've relied on it doesn't mean that it's the best thing now. And just having a checkup once in a while is a good thing to see if there's anything better going on that you could use.
That's true. That's very true.
I know. I took my own site through an audit and I was like, wow, I don't even remember putting that one in there. You know? Hey, it ain't just my clients, guys. It's me, too. I have to do audits on mine as well and performance checks and the whole thing. Yeah, I have to do it on mine. I don't hide behind that cobbler's children stuff. I walk my talk. I put my own fights through it. So, Marilyn, you have been so wonderful here to share so much of what's going on behind the scenes that's really important for people to look at. And I really appreciate your time in doing that. If you had to give some advice to site owners, especially those that are in your niche with food and recipes and that kind of thing, what would you tell them that you would have liked to have known way back when?
Way back when, in the beginning, I should have devised, gone for quality instead of quantity. I should have checked a little bit more about what I needed and how it affected. You have to start, if you're in the recipe area like I am, you have to start with a recipe program and then add on what's important for your style. So less is more. All of these good old sayings. Less is actually more. And make sure that you do educate yourself in certain areas that you know that you want to utilize, and make sure that that information isn't just being fed to you on a spoon. Make sure that you question it. You question what's the best way to raise your child. You question, is it better to be married or live in the city or whatever? And you make those decisions based on what's best for you. You have to do the same thing when you start a blog.
Absolutely. And learn just enough to make sure that you can vet who you're listening to instead of going to the school of hard knocks and learning it that way. It costs a lot more, doesn't it?
It sure does. A lot more time and trouble. And I was in a race to get as much up on my blog as I could. Well, I ended up putting up 500 recipes in the first year. But in my first year, I was only getting 1,000 to 1,500 views. Now I have all these recipes. They're almost impossible to go in and locate and find. And it's all stuff that most people reading my blog have never seen. And I think I also was posting so many times, publishing a day, that people were just going, oh, not again, oh, not again, not her, and just wiping it out without looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you learn your lessons the hard way, don't you?
Yeah, you do. So start slow, but make them count.
Yeah, and get your tribe going. That's the main thing, is getting people locked in and coming back. And it's not just about how many things you post. It's what you post and people being really interested in it, wanting more of it. Leave them hungry for your recipes, right?
Right, just like the recipes. And I noticed that since I'm doing that, since I'm spending much more time outside of creating my own blog, I still put a premium on that. But the majority of my time is working to get my stuff out there, but also to present other people's things that I love, and to make sure that I comment and share and make sure that they comment back. Give them something different, like, oh, this looks yummy. I think I'm going to try it. They aren't going to answer you on that. But if you say, this is something wonderful, I really am glad you saw that, please come and tell me. I've signed up for your newsletter, and please come back and check out my blog. I'd like some pointers. Well, then they get involved with you. They feel you care. They become a friend. And a lot of them will tell you what they like or don't like and what they see and don't see. And this also helps your blog. Whatever you give to someone comes back 100 times for yourself.
Well, it's being a real person and being social and treating people online like you would in real life. And that makes a lot of difference. If you're going to be real shallow and it's all about me, 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 nobody's going to want to be around that. So it makes a lot of sense to do that. That's great advice for everybody, you know, who has a site now, to look at what's going on with your site, get it checked out, learn more, vet the information, especially in these groups, because people tend to listen to who they know instead of who knows what they're talking about. So make sure that you vet this stuff for yourself. Marilyn, thank you so much for joining me today and sharing your experiences.
Well, thank you, Mayanna, for giving me the opportunity. I really enjoyed it, and I hope that some of the listeners to this program do go and sign up for your newsletter and start reading your blog so that they can become aware of, I didn't know this was out there. I didn't know this was happening. Oh, I didn't know I was doing this. And figure out for yourself. She's great at giving you information and ideas for you to chomp on and sleep on and eventually put into place that's best for you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thanks to everyone for listening. Jump on over to Blogate for the show notes and links that we mentioned here so you can go check out Marilyn's site. And you can also hear more site success interviews with site owners just like you. You can subscribe directly to the podcast as well, where you'll also get the Tips Tuesday podcast, which is 10 power pack minutes of a weekly roundup of the best tips from me and around the net to help you create and maintain a successful site. And I'll see you online.